The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
The U.S. proposes a Gaza ceasefire deal as talks between Israel and Hamas continue. Plus, a look at America's hottest job markets and how a surge in asylum claims is testing the limits of each step of the U.S. immigration system.
Nowadays, Border Patrol doesn't even really ask why you've come across the border. They just assume it's for asylum. So they take you to a migrant aid camp. You'll get fingerprinted, make sure you're not a criminal, and then sort of go on your way. And then you end up in a court system that is also completely overwhelmed.
It's Tuesday, April 9th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Tesla has reached a settlement with the family of a driver who died in a 2018 crash involving the company's driver assistance technology Autopilot. The settlement, the terms of which weren't disclosed in court records, comes just days before attorneys were poised to deliver opening statements in a case that would have tested Tesla's position that drivers, not the automaker, are ultimately responsible for crashes that involve the technology. However, that question could come up again, given that Tesla faces other disputes involving Autopilot. And we want to know what questions you have about what's happening at Tesla, as well as in the broader EV market. Send us a note, or even better, record a voice memo on your phone and send that to us at wnpod@wsj.com. That's wnpod@wsj.com, or leave us a voicemail at 212-416-4328. Just be sure to include your name and location, because we might use them on the show. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's visit to China, during which she pressed the country to scale back industrial production, has been met with a cool reaction by officials in Beijing who said they're pursuing economic development appropriately and who warned the U.S. against the use of protectionism. Our China bureau chief Jonathan Cheng has more.
China has long been suspicious of anything coming out of the U.S. as being either a trap or an effort to try and contain China to stop its rise. And that's what we're hearing both from Chinese officials, but also from state media outlets. They're suggesting that this is the U.S. up to its old tricks again. They're trying to keep us down. Now they don't want us to succeed with electric vehicles. They don't want us to succeed with solar panels, you know, those sorts of things.
Jonathan, does that necessarily mean that one of Yellen's other goals of this trip, evidently trying to maintain this delicate detente between the U.S. and China, was necessarily a failure?
Well, you know, I mean, it's obviously one piece of a bigger picture that Janet Yellen is responsible for. There's all sorts of different aspects to this relationship. So definitely what we're seeing here is one area where it seemed like there was less contentiousness is now becoming an area where perhaps there will be a lot of contentiousness, but we'll of course have to see how things develop.
Negotiators representing Israel and Hamas are turning over a new ceasefire deal proposed by the United States in the hopes of securing a pause in fighting in Gaza. Under the plan, presented Sunday by CIA Director William Burns, Hamas would, over the course of 6 weeks, release 40 of the more than 100 captives still held in Gaza in return for the release of 900 Palestinians in Israeli prisons, according to Arab mediators. The U.S. also proposed allowing Palestinian civilians to return to northern Gaza, where they've been displaced from since October. However, Israel has been reluctant to allow that for fear that Hamas militants would mix in and return to already cleared areas. Well, if you're looking for a job in the U.S. in an affordable city, the Mountain West and Sun Belt might be your best bet. That is according to new WSJ rankings, which found Salt Lake City to be the country's hottest job market in 2023, while Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa, and Miami also cracked the top 10, making Florida the top state last year. The Journal and Moody's Analytics looked at about 380 metro areas and examined factors including unemployment, labor force participation, and wages. And WSJ Finance reporter Angel Au Young says the results show the continuation of a trend started during the pandemic.
So with remote work, it really untied a lot of workers from places like New York City and Silicon Valley and allowed them to move to places where they could actually afford to buy homes. So Tampa and Miami came in first and second in terms of wage growth, which means that employers in those cities are paying up to attract and retain workers. Meanwhile, you've got places like New York City and San Jose, California, which ranked towards the bottom of the list in terms of wage growth.
Angel said that white-collar tech workers priced out of California have been heading to Salt Lake City's tech hub for over a decade. And though the so-called Silicon Slopes weren't immune to last year's mass layoffs in tech, many of those workers were able to quickly find new jobs.
There was a recruiter who told me that there were a number of IT startups that folded in Salt Lake last year. But those workers were picked right up by companies in finance and manufacturing. So workers have options, and you're seeing signs of that nationally as well. Data just came out from the Labor Department, which showed that in March of this year, the country added over 300,000 jobs, which was significantly higher than economists' expectations.
And to see how your area measures up against the nation's hottest job markets, we've left a link to the full WSJ rankings in our show notes. And the University of Connecticut last night won the men's NCAA basketball tournament, defeating fellow number one seed Purdue in a blowout win that marked UConn's second consecutive national championship. Coming up, laws meant to protect refugees are increasingly being used by vast numbers of economic migrants. We'll look at the effect that's having on overstretched immigration systems around the world after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
To understand what's driving the global migration crisis, look no further than the explosion of asylum claims. David Luno is the Journal's UK bureau chief, and he's been crunching the numbers behind the staggering increase in the past decade in people traveling often thousands of miles to the borders of rich countries around the world and applying for asylum. And he joins me now to discuss the effects that this trend is causing and how immigration rules could be changing as a result. David, a few weeks ago, you and I were speaking about this story, and you said, Luke, asylum applications, they are way up. Paint a picture of what has been changing lately.
I mean, really what started changing is around 2013, 2014, people started realizing that claiming asylum was sort of an easy way to get into a country, at least temporarily. So in 2013, there were 76,000 asylum applications. That went up to last year, 920,000 in the U.S., so nearly a million. And those are applications, so that's not necessarily the number of people. Each application can represent a family. Europe has also seen a big uptick. Europe received about 1.14 million asylum seekers last year. That's the highest since 2016, which is basically the aftermath of the Syrian civil war. And this has changed for a bunch of reasons. The most important reason it has changed is that people realize it works. We spoke to a guy from Benin who had gone from there to South America and then up through Central America, Mexico to the U.S. There are a lot of smuggling networks that have arisen to cater to these groups of people. And social media, starting around 2014, was when social media and smartphones became sort of ubiquitous in places like Latin America. So the first few families that started claiming asylum and getting in, they quickly wrote back home and told others that this was working, and word soon spread.
And David, unsurprisingly, immigration systems are straining as a result of this. Tell us about some of the effects that this is causing.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are so overwhelming that the U.S. system is overwhelmed every day. There are thousands of people coming across. So nowadays, Border Patrol doesn't even really ask why you've come across the border. They just assume it's for asylum. So they take you to a migrant aid camp. You'll get fingerprinted, make sure you're not a criminal, and then sort of go on your way. And then you end up in a court system that is also completely overwhelmed. So U.S. immigration courts have a backlog of about 3.4 million cases. So it takes years to get resolved. By the time these cases get resolved, even if you lose your claim for asylum, it's really hard for a government to kick you out. I mean, you've been there 5-6 years. You've probably had American kids. You've had a job. So it's sort of a conundrum for countries. They don't really know what to do.
Yeah, and as further evidence of that, you supplied numbers about a pretty stunning decline in the repatriation rate from the United States.
So yeah, I mean, in 2013, 2014, more than 80% of the people, not just families, but anyone apprehended sort of crossing the border without proper documentation were repatriated. And that fell to 30% by 2019. So really, it rendered the U.S. sort of incapable of turning people back.
Right. And making this now a big hot button political issue in the United States, according to a recent Journal poll, immigration is the top issue going into the 2024 presidential election. On the immigration law front, though, are rules changing as a result of this when the system is sort of breaking down?
Yeah, you know, countries are trying to look at how to deal with this without running afoul of international law. So Italy, for example, has just struck a deal with Albania where asylum seekers will stay in Albania while their cases are being decided. If their case wins, then they get to go to Italy. If not, then Albania has to resettle them or they either stay there or go back to their country of origin. That's kind of similar to what the Trump administration did with the Remain in Mexico plan. The UK, Denmark, and Germany are looking to actually have migrants go to countries in Africa and elsewhere to stay. It's not just to hear their asylum claim, but actually just to resettle there. They're hoping that can serve as sort of a powerful disincentive for new arrivals coming. The U.S. had a bipartisan deal, but it's been stalled. And more broadly, the U.S. has been incapable of doing any kind of immigration reform now for a few decades. So one of the main drivers of this is when you have jobs available in the U.S., but no real legal ways to get there, people will find those ways to get there.
That was the Wall Street Journal's UK Bureau Chief, David Luno. David, thank you so much for bringing us this story.
A pleasure, Luke. Thanks a lot.
And that was What's News for Tuesday morning. Today's show was produced by Kate Bullivant and Daniel Bach. Christina Rocha was our supervising producer. And I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. Until then, thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.